Jim Minadio, and I'm the president of ZeroSearch, a manufacturer of power quality filters that are used for surge protecting sensitive electronics. With ZeroSearch, you have peace of mind that your electronics are kept safe. Now, today is a different show. I don't have a guest today, but that shouldn't make you click away from this show. I promised a few good stories to tell, some news about the state and local initiative innovation efforts, and a preview of some upcoming show ideas that we're going to do to kind of, you know, go beyond just the regular talk show host kind of guest format. Hopefully in September we'll be doing those, but also we'll be having good guests between that now and then. And as always, I'll end the show with some history about the innovation. Today I chose the subject of radio. I mean, we are still called Hack Hunterdon Radio, and this is the Chamber Radio, so I thought, let's go down memory lane and see how this medium evolved. But before we get through all this, let's get to the weather. Tonight, 50% chance of thunderstorms, high of 81. Tonight, it'll be down to 66 with the thunderstorms chance kind of getting. Looks like it'll probably happen between now and midnight, and then after that, it should ease off into the night. And then tomorrow, it's only going to be 81 with chance of thunderstorms throughout the day. Friday, 81. So it looks like we're in this kind of wet period where it's just going to be kind of muggy for a while. So enjoy that. So with that, we'll get started after a few commercials.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, we're back. Jim Minadio here again with the Hack Hunterdon Radio Show. And before we get started, some housekeeping. I will be a guest on another radio show at the Chamber here. Devin LeComp has a show called Curate, and she asked me to be on her show August 26th. So if you're tuning in live, I guess it would be between 5 and 6 p.m. on Monday the 26th, and I'm sure it'll be, you know, archived and you could stream it later. We'll try to put a link to it for our page here and to ZeroSearch page and however else you look at it. You know, take a check that out. You know, when you're not checking my show out, you can check out her show and all the other great shows that are on the Chamber of Commerce Radio. There's every kind of show you'd want, from sports to finance to business to home decorating, real estate, all these different shows. And again, if you're interested in specific shows, you know, go to the Chamber of Commerce website page. And you'll see their radio page, and then you can pick from there. A lot of them stream on Facebook. Not every single one does, but pretty much they all do. And so you could see them live or download them as a podcast from the page and listen to them just, you know, while you're driving somewhere or mowing the lawn. I've done that too myself. So, and then also another thing from last week, Cody and I were talking about a coffee shop on Stengel, and we forgot the name of it, so we apologize. Of course, we remembered 2 minutes after the show was over. Factory Fuel is the name of the place. So check them out. They have good coffee, some desserts, and it's a good place to hang out If you need, you know, just 20 minutes to chill between appointments, or you just want to, you know, have a little meeting one-on-one with somebody, it's a good place to go. Nice rustic feel over there on Stengel Road. So there's a nice little plug for them. So what we're going to talk about today. So we'll start kind of globally and work our way in a little bit, and then have a little story. I found this really cool story. It's somebody who thought he was being clever, and how technology can, you know, kind of, it's kind of a negative story about technology, but a positive at the same time. I don't know. It depends on how you look at it, I guess, but it's a fun story. So first, we're looking at, you know, this initiative is supposed to be about innovation and trying to expand business locally. But you also have to look globally in order to know what kind of businesses we could bring into Hunterdon County. So with that, I noticed the article in MarketWatch. They came out with their, I guess it's Glassdoor, actually, is the online site that provides, like, salary and information about companies, whether they're, you know, fun to work for, or they hire people, or they promote them properly and stuff like that. So they did a survey to find out the best career opportunities. So this is one of those, you know, what kind of jobs can you get now that are high paying? So the top job, it's averaging at $112,000 a year salary, and it would be a tax manager. So they don't get into details about what a tax manager would be, but I would imagine it's somebody who's dealing with not just like a CPA, but like we do in Zero Search, we have an issue like just this week. My accountant reminded me that if you're familiar with the sales tax laws in this country changing, there was a big court case in the Supreme Court that now allowed states to go after to collect sales tax from businesses that do mail order. So Zero Search, we mail order a product out. You normally don't have to charge a customer sales tax unless they're in the state of New Jersey. Well, now other states are jumping on this. And what they originally were doing to try to not hurt small businesses like us and have to figure out every single state and what the laws are and register in every state was they were putting barriers of, you know, 100,000 in sales in that state or more than 200 orders. And so that was more of a reasonable compromise for the small-time sellers, for people who don't do a lot of business in a specific state. But Kansas is going, they're the first state that we've heard of that are going, there's no threshold. So you sell one thing into Kansas, you have to collect sales tax. So we had to register, and I did that process today, which was a little bit more than, say, New Jersey, which is ironic. People always complain about New Jersey's red tape, but Kansas, I had to actually call somebody and kind of find my way through, you know, registering as a company, but not as a company that has a presence there. Because once you say that, then there'll all sorts of other tax implications. So I'd imagine the tax manager kind of job would be important because of things like this for companies, especially large companies that have a presence all around the country and all around the world. And as tax laws have to keep changing and evolving based on how, instead of taking more from federal, now the burden's shifting locally, you know, you need to manage that so you have cash flow as a business. So that'd be an important job. The next, the number two job was Salesforce developers. And there's a software called Salesforce, if you don't know. It's a popular software for doing customer relation management. So basically, they're trying to say that the future is worrying about taxes, also developing software that makes your company work better with customers. Product designers were also number three, strategy managers, and HR managers. So basically what they're saying is, and you'd think data scientists would be big because that was a big one recently, but it's down to like number seven in salary. So that means that there's probably more people that are getting these jobs, so that kind of dilutes the salary market. But, you know, what this is saying to me is, you know, it's all about the human aspects. You know, there's all these automation efforts that we talked about with, like, Mark with the robotics company with Knott's, but there's still jobs out there, and they're high-paying jobs. It's just more, it's a higher-level human interaction and also strategizing, which is something that automation and AI just can't do yet. So there's still value to that. So teaching our kids strategy, teaching our kids how to work with other humans, psychology, those kind of skill sets are going to be very important to have. So let me just check the time here. All right, so that's the first thing. And I think what we'll do is we'll have another quick commercial break before I get into this story, because this is going to take a little while. Talk about what's going on at the state level with innovation, and we'll be right back after this break.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back. Jim and I are here with Hack Hunterdon Radio, and it's solo show today, so it's just me and talking to you about some different stories in the news and some stories I read about, and again, we'll finish with our history lesson. This time it'll be about radio. So sit back and enjoy. And so the next article I want to talk about, there is a group called the New Jersey Tech Council. Okay. They're a state-level group. They provide business development, education, networking, recognition opportunities, as well as advocacy for the state and the region's technology businesses. So by collectively representing tech, life science, tech-related companies, and organizations, as well as the professional firms that support them, the Tech Council has the unique ability to offer opportunities to learn, network, and grow, recognize and promote member companies and their leadership, nurture the tech and STEM talent pipeline critical to growth in the state, provide access to financing sources and additional resources, advocate and support public policy, which strengthens our ecosystem. It was founded in 1996. It's a private nonprofit membership organization which supports the tech and entrepreneurial ecosystems across the state. It is among the largest and most respected trade organization nationwide. So they have a lot of conferences like the Innovation Forecast and Venture Conference, which attracts hundreds of entrepreneurs. They have a CIO conference. They have a global commercialization conference, incubator showcase, leadership summits. They even have a data summit, financial technology conferences, an IoT conference, and health tech conference. So basically what they and they have this and they do a lot of angel investing and connect investors with innovators and entrepreneurs. And so one of the criticisms that I've read about them, I mean, I've never experienced it personally, but just from what, you know, other people who are trying to get help, I guess, is that this can be like this little group of people, and they may turn off some people. Like, say, if you're developing something that's not completely IT or tech-related, you just don't think to go to these people to help with your work or with your project, and maybe they can. And so what they did recently was they shook up the organization. They hired a new CEO, and his name is Aaron Price. And if you know Aaron Price, he's the force behind a group called Propelify. So Propelify is a yearly innovation conference over in Hoboken. I guess it was last year. I think it's every year in Hoboken. And what he does is he gets hundreds and thousands. I mean, they had 8,000 people last year to go. And there's about 80 different speakers, and they're all speakers about different kinds of innovation or entrepreneurship or other kinds of leadership and business. And, you know, it's just, I don't know how old is he, I didn't look him up, but say he's, you know, in his probably late 30s, early 40s. So he's a lot of energy. He's a serial entrepreneur, so that means he started many businesses, even as early as when he was in college. And so he has this entrepreneurial mindset in his blood. But he also, is a community-oriented person. So it's not just, that he's here to make money and turn over businesses. He also wants other people to get involved. So having his Propelify group now brought into this New Jersey Tech Council, it's kind of making the Tech Council now more popular because, he's able to bring people who are just, new to business and their mindset, and he just has the energy that attracts them. So they're pretty excited at the Tech Council about this, and they had a big press release and interview with, what's his name again? Tom Bergeron from ROINJ, which is a good publication to read if you're into the business news of the state. Tom does a good job of getting out there to the meetings and interviewing people. He interviewed me once for something, and he pretty straightforward, pretty straight shooter as far as, there's the bias in what he's reporting. I mean, he's just there trying to report what's going on. So, and he does get people to talk and explain what they're working on. So it's kind of a good thing for New Jersey, I think. It's an interesting conference. I'm actually thinking about going this year. It's in October, October 3rd, I believe. So it does cost like about $100 to go there, but I'm sure there's food and, a lot of speakers that you probably wouldn't necessarily get to see in person. They have the big entrepreneurs out there, the big people that you see online on LinkedIn that are doing, that have millions of followers and stuff. The Shark Tank kind of people, level people that you see on TV, those kind of people that will be at this conference. And there are a lot of different companies there, a lot of networking opportunities. There's going to be even fun stuff like drone racing and innovation tents. And you can actually come and there's an elevator pitch competition too. So if you got that idea and you want to try it out in a competitive environment, come on out and go to the Propelify. Like I said, it's Propelify. I believe it's Propelify.com. It will get you to the website, and or you can go to the New Jersey Tech Council website. And so there's that. Let's see. All right. So before we get to this next story, I figure since we have some time here and I don't have a guest, people have asked me, why am I doing the show? So I think I would answer it this way, is that I got involved with the Hack 100 movement by meeting Mark Salek, the economic development director. So he introduced me to this world through the hackathon. We helped sponsor it all 3 years, and then we got involved in running it and recruiting people to come to it and things like that. And then that gets me going to the meetups, and I found that it's a interesting community. It's people in Hunterdon County. It's people. It's local. We're able to affect things in real time. We get to see, the seeds of our work bearing fruit with people like Cody creating a business out of something. We've seen, people get hired from these hackathons. We see people at the meetups make connections. Some have made some pretty good networking, strong business connections. I mean, I made a ton of connections. And you know, it's a good way. And so when we started recently talking about, you know, how to promote it even more, then I happened to see an email about the chamber and how we have this radio station and they needed some extra hosts. So I figured, what, you know, why not? It's kind of a fun thing to do. We'll see how long this goes. You know, it's a little tough because doing it, you know, it's kind of ending your day early at work, but I think long term we'll get the hang of this and we'll have some really good shows. So who can be a guest on the show? People have asked. Basically anybody in Hunterdon County that's doing something innovative. It could be related to music, art, finance, business. Doesn't have to be IT or technical. It's just the people that I know locally. If either through a company here or you live here, you know, I'd like you on the show. You know, come out, send us an email either through Facebook or through Zero Surge. It's easiest to remember info@zerosurge.com. You can try that way or connect through the chamber. And so the process of being a guest is basically, you know, you just contact me. We'll talk about what do you want to talk about and then put you on the schedule. I mean, I'm scheduling about a month ahead or so. And so how does Zero Surge fit in all this? Because people have asked me that too. And I think what it is what's cool about Zero Surge and what our product is. I mean, we'll have a show. Hopefully I'll get Rudy on to describe it because he does the best at describing the history of the product. Is that, you know, Zero Surge, we protect electronics. So we protect people's investment. We protect equipment. And so we are around a lot of IT and technical people. So, you know, obviously this is a good marketing venue for businesses. So that's also part of it, you know, gets our name out there and gives us reason to put content out. So, you know, if you're looking to find ways of putting content out about your business or just getting your name out there, there are other openings here. I know that there's a few shows that are struggling to get even guests. So, you know, definitely, you know, contact the chamber. They'll find a show that's right for your audience and, you know, get involved in it. So, let's see. So one other question, I think. I guess that was it on my questions that people had asked me. So, again, if you want to be a guest, just contact us. We'll get you on here. And then in the future, one of the future things that we're going to do is what I'm going to do, if you're a fan of the old McLaughlin group or, you know, shows like that where you have a host and you have a roundtable discussion and but more of a quick fire kind of thing. And so because of the time constraints we have here, so we're going to experiment this probably at the beginning of September. We'll have about three or four people here. We'll do topic number one, you know, Mac or PC, or, you know, what's your favorite, you know, software to use, or, you know, what kind of phone do you like, or what type of, you know, we'll throw in things like sports team. I don't know. We'll come up with some fun topics to discuss and see where it goes. I think that would be an interesting show for people. So, all right. So we're here at the bottom of the hour break, and I will be right back after this news break and commercial break.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
On Tuesday, the White House announced it would be delaying adding tariffs on a number of Chinese goods to soften the impact on American consumers during the holiday season. Tom Donahoe is a U.S. Chamber of Commerce CEO. He tells Fox News the trade war is a very slippery slope.
I believe that the White House did the right thing and is doing the right thing to be strong and tough with the Chinese.
Hong Kong's airport is open after violent clashes between protesters and police had grounded flights over the past 2 days. Hong Kong lawmaker Fernando Chung tells CBS News,
"We're in a situation that people are getting ready to fight. And many young people are ready to sacrifice themselves. And we don't want to see that happen."
Rough day on Wall Street as the Dow has been down over 700 points at times on Wednesday. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? fish oil, or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
All right, we're back. Again, the weather. It's going to be muggy. Going to be raining. I see it's raining right now outside our window here. And it's going to be 81 was the high today. It's going to be down in the 60s. And it's only going to be in the low 80s the rest of the week with chances of rain on and off all day long. So, again, more rain like we don't need anymore. So, all right. Quick shout-out to Mr. Andrew Hanley here giving me some words of encouragement on Facebook through a private message. So thanks, Andy. Yes, it is fun to do the show by myself. Of course, I don't prefer to do it that way, but it just worked out that way this week. So hopefully we'll have some more guests every single time. So, but, you know, stay and listen. This is a fun story. So save this one for when we did have needed time to kill, so, or not kill, but fill is the proper word, I guess. All right, so this is from Wired magazine. So there's a guy named Joseph Tartaro. Joseph Tartaro, he never meant to cause this much trouble, especially for himself. So in late 2016, Tartaro decided to get a vanity license plate. A security researcher by trade, he ticked down the possibilities that, you know, that related to his work. A seg fault, maybe, or something to do with vulnerabilities. Sifting through his options, he started typing null pointer, but caught himself after the first word, null, N-U-L-L. Funny. The idea was I'd get void for my wife's car, so our driveway would be null and void, Tartaro says. The joke had layers, though, and as Tartaro well knew, and as he explained in a recent talk at the DEF CON Hacker Conference, null is also a text string that many programming languages signify a value that is empty or undefined. So to many computers, null is the void. That set up his brutal punchline, one that left Tartaro at one point facing $12,049 worth of traffic fines wrongly sent his way. He's still not sure if he'll be able to re-register his car this year without paying someone else's parking tickets. And thanks to the loop that he's caught in, it's not clear if the citations will ever stop coming. So in his DEF CON talk, he played with the idea that he initially hoped a null plate might get him out of tickets, that once fed into the database of offenders, the violation quite literally would not compute. But he says now that pranks weren't actually his initial focus. If anything, he was surprised that the California DMV website let him register null in the first place. That first year as a null driver was uneventful. But when it came time to register again in 2017, the DMV website no longer accepted null as an option. It broke the website, he said. Specifically, the site told him that the license plate and the VIN number he had entered were invalid. But Tartaro was still able to use a reference number to renew. He didn't think much more of it. He also didn't think much of the ticket he got early in 2018 for not having the appropriate registration sticker on his license plate. Tartaro suspected someone scraped it off to use on their own car. He thought about fighting it, but the fine was only $35, so he decided to pay it and move on with his life. Then came the citations, dozens of them, deposited in bulk into his mailbox. Parking violations, stand-stop violations, fines of $37, $60, $74, $80, from Fresno all the way to Rancho Cucamonga. I've never been to Fresno, he said. Nor had Tartaro gone on a statewide parking-related crime spree. Instead, by paying the $35 ticket, what he did was a database somewhere now associated null with his personal information, which means that any time a traffic cop forgot to fill in the license plate number on a citation, the fine automatically got sent to Joe. The tickets were for Hondas, Toyotas, Mercedes, Infinities, all sorts of vehicles. At one point, Tartaro says he received two tickets written at Cypress College within hours of each other for two different vehicles. He would have had to swap the registration during his lunch break. Worse yet, the incoming citation seemed to apply retroactively. I have tickets from 2014, he said. I didn't even have the plate back then. So what happened? So the fines were all sent by a private company called Citation Processing Center, which, well, processes parking citations. By calling them, Tartaro says, proved fruitless. I reached out to this company, and they're basically saying that I have to prove without a doubt that these hundreds of tickets aren't mine. Trying to speak to a manager went nowhere, he said. He's like, you've got to mail all these tickets back to us. Tartaro declined, worried about potentially losing the paper record of the misallocated fines. But the next day, he says, he noticed something odd in the public online listing of citations maintained at the Citations Processing Center website. He had given them an example of a specific ticket he'd gotten that implicated a Honda. Online, the record had been changed to an Infiniti with his VIN number, which was his car. So he shared a side-by-side comparison with the paper copy at his talk to show that the Honda now turned into an Infiniti. After I had a phone call, directly after the phone call, those same tickets that I still have the physical printouts in front of me right now that say their make and model were modified. A Citation Processing Center employee said that she was aware of Tartaro's situation, but the company was unavailable to comment to the reporter who's transcribed the story. So the next thing he did was turn to the DMV, he says, which worked with Citation Processing Center to avoid out the bulk of the tickets that errantly came his way. That successfully got the amount owed down to $6,000 as of last weekend, but it didn't solve the core problem. More tickets continued to trickle in. The database still had him pegged. Even through all of this, Tartaro remained mostly unconcerned. The CPC was just a private company. He could just keep working with the DMV to avoid the fines as they came in, which is an annoyance, but it's not a catastrophe. He had successfully registered his car the previous year, despite the CPC citations piling up. But just days before his DEFCON talk, he received a notice from the DMV that they would not let him renew his registration this time unless he actually paid some of those fines. Now the DMV is enforcing these tickets that are falsified. That changes everything, he says. At the moment, I cannot re-register my vehicle without paying the tickets, but I can't pay the tickets because it admits guilt. And the minute I admit that, it opens me up to all the other tickets. I'm basically in a really bad situation. The situation has improved somewhat in recent days, he said. The tickets were assigned to his car, still tallied at $6,000. But recently, when Wired looked up the plate, it was only showing $140 worth of tickets remaining, both from Fresno. So apparently, once Wire starts talking to the state, things happened, which is not surprising. So he doesn't see this much of a reprieve. He's glad that the tickets have vanished, but he still need to pay $140 to re-register his car, and there's no guarantee that more fines won't show up along the way. It's also hard to know where to turn for resolution. His situation appears to stem from policies that were set by local parking authorities, which the DMV has no control over. From the DMV's perspective, our system recognizes his personalized plate and shows he's eligible to renew his registration online, assuming he pays the fee. But prank or not, he was playing with fire by going with null in the first place. He had it coming, says Christopher Null, a journalist who's written previously for Wired, about the challenges his last name presents. So imagine there's somebody, his last name is Null. He says, all you ever get is errors and crashes and headaches. If anything, Null says, the problem has gotten worse over the years. The minimum viable product concept has pushed a lot of bad code through that doesn't go through the proper level of testing. So basically he's saying, you know, because of the way software now is developed and pushed through as fast as possible, nobody ever checks for things like, what if somebody's last name is Null? So he's had, this guy Null's had a lot of problems with Amex dropping his name, Bank of America refusing to accept emails from him. And so it's an interesting problem that, you know, he obviously should change his name. I mean, that's if he wants to not deal with this hassle, because it sounds like it's going to happen for a while. And then as far as Tartaro goes, he still has the tickets associated with him. The moment I change my plate, I just know it's going to be even more convoluted. I don't feel comfortable changing it until I know it's actually solved. So apparently he's going to try to wait it out. But there's a talk about your unintended consequences, trying to use the word null for registration. So that's the lesson there, kids. Don't use that word when you're registering anything. I know that we had a similar issue at Zero Surge, actually, with these concept of these local authorities that tax start handing off the actual enforcement of the tax to local companies instead of having and the what happens is the mindset's different. A local company is a for-profit company, so they're just there to push through as much work as possible, whereas a government's mindset's supposed to be to help people, you know, theoretically. So you get a totally different set of help when you have issues. We had an employee that was living in PA, and they wanted us to pay local PA income taxes for Zero Surge when we don't have a physical presence there. Just because somebody lives there doesn't make Zero Surge a Pennsylvania company. And what they do is they try to trick you into thinking that you owe the tax. They send you a notice, and you think it was something that our payroll company screwed up. But then you find out that it was them trying to do it the whole time. And they're trying to get you on the phone to say that, you know, to try to find every loophole to try to get you to say that your employee does work out of PA to get the presence. So if you run a small business and you run a, especially living here on, you know, where you have a state pretty close by where odds are you're going to have at least one or two employees from Pennsylvania, just realize that these local authorities will keep bugging you. And it took about four quarters before they finally stopped bothering us. So, all right, so we're almost at another break here. I think we'll take it now since I'll give myself more time to do the historical story about radio. So be right back after this break.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back. Jim and Adu here with Hack 100 and Radio. Our last segment is traditionally and has been and still will be a historical story about innovation. I figured since we're doing a radio show, we should hit that topic at least once. For those of you who don't know the history of radio, I'll give you sort of the abridged version of it because I pulled up a nice 15-page history of it, but we can go through the highlights. It's interesting to me, like a lot of history, when I go back and research for this show, a lot of things I'll have in my head that, you know, I'm 50 years old. So in 50 years of learning some of these things, like you remember it one way and then you realize, this is not exactly as long, you know, this happened later than you thought or earlier than you thought. And it's interesting. So I think sometimes it's good to go back in history and learn when things actually did happen to put things in context. Think about it to yourself, like the history of radio. Like I knew that, I mean, I always remember that KDKA is considered the first radio station. But I was thinking that they came out in like the 30s or, but they actually, their license was in 1920, but they actually were broadcasting 20 years before that. So the first, to do the history of radio, to kind of get you into it real quick, basically it starts with Maxwell is a good starting point. James Maxwell is a physicist. He basically proposed that electromagnetic waves could propagate through space. And Heinrich Hertz, who you've heard, you know, Hertz as in the frequency, he was able to prove the existence of these waves and called it the radio spectrum. So the fact that we call this radio is because it's part of the electromagnetic spectrum of light. And so Hertz was the one to recognize that, and that's why we use his and he was able to understand propose the frequency aspect of these waves, and so that's why we say, you know, 2.4 gigahertz, you know, it's based off of that. And so, you know, before we had radio, we had, you know, telephone, we had landlines, we had telegraph lines, and so people would start noticing things based on these landlines that you can send out these sparks, and then that would cause induction of data on the other end of a receiving wire. So people like Thomas Edison got involved, David Hughes, and then obviously the one that a lot of people know, Marconi. And Marconi actually was, you know, got his start through Edison. Edison, as far as getting commercializing his the radio, Edison was able to sell him some patents that, and I guess they were friends. And so to try to help Marconi, you know, when his company was going and selling, starting to get into this radio concept. So, and this was back in 1903. And, all right, so moving forward, so what happened was the first radio broadcast, it's memorialized, I guess you can go up in Massachusetts, the very first one is still considered on Christmas Eve, December 1906. They broadcast some Christmas music, some Bible passages, and it was being sent out through AM radio, still the AM dial, which stands for amplitude modulation. So it was you could bounce it over a long distance over the water, and ships at sea would hear, they were able to get this transmission. And so that was the first station that was out of Brant Rock, Massachusetts in 1906. And let's see, right after that, let's see, let me go to the next page here. Okay, so then what happened was all these other companies started trying to create receivers and transmitters. And so the radio was obviously a one-way transmission. And then once you figured out how to do the one-way, then they started figuring out how to do two-way transmission. And so the oldest mobile telephone company actually predates what people would think of the cell phone era. There was actually, before even the 70s, there was cell phone. AT&T did have the first commercialized mobile telephone service back in 1947. So it started in St. Louis, and they were doing it so that people who were far away could make phone calls. And by 1948, they had 5,000 customers placing 30,000 calls a week. But it was expensive. It's equivalent in modern dollars of about $180 a month, which is close to what a cell phone, but it's also, they were also charging about $4 a call. So imagine paying, you know, you're doing 30,000, it's $120,000 worth of phone calls a week that they were making just from 5,000 customers. So obviously it was for a critical infrastructure for people who just didn't have access to landlines back in the 40s. And so after that, so actually before that, so part of the story is that the original radio stations were just known by their the wavelength that they were transmitting at, because at the time the radios themselves were not as accurate, so they would just pick up, you know, you could dial in a station based on its the length of the wavelength, and so that's where it really started out with shortwave radio, and long wave radio was based on the fact that they're using that as a way to measure radio stations. So some of the early radio stations were known based on their wavelength. And they had call letters like 2ADD was one out of, where was it? It didn't say. I think it was out of Detroit. No, Detroit was 8MK was the Detroit station, which still exists today. It's WWJ. KDKA was 8AD, I think. And they were the, you know, they're still considered the longest continuous running radio station because they never moved, whereas some of these other radio stations moved. Like WJZ, which is a station out of Baltimore, originally started up in the New Jersey area. So, and they moved the station. And let's see. And it wasn't until... I lost that. It wasn't until 1960 when they started actually assigning call letters to radio stations. So if you don't know, radio stations east of the Mississippi start with a W. So we have, you know, like the famous was WKRP in Cincinnati. So they're east of the Mississippi. And then they start off with K if it's west of the Mississippi. And they didn't start that until after KDKA in Pittsburgh existed. So there are a few exceptions. But, you know, all the West Coast radio stations start with a K, and all the East Coast start with a W. So that's some other little trivia for you. And that's about it. I'm not going to get too much more into that. It's, you know, once you start getting into... you know, in the 60s and stuff, then it becomes more of the modern. And then we start doing FM broadcasting and stuff like that. So let's see. I'm trying to see if there's anything else I'm missing here from that. So FM was patented in 1933, but it wasn't really used until after World War II. So... okay, so that's about it. I think we'll just wrap it up there. I know it's a short show today, but a little bit shorter than normal. But, again, we didn't have a guest. So I thank you all for listening. you know, thank you all the new fans, the old fans for listening. Thank you, the Chamber, for giving me the opportunity, the platform. Thank Mark and his team at Economic Development, the gang back at Zero Surge, Donna, Deb, Jen, Tony, Dave, and John. Thanks to my wife and kids, and to all the rest of you innovators out there. The meaning of the word innovator was that you're a rebel, so keep rebelling against the doubters and make your ideas a reality.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Stocks are plummeting after the bond market sent warning signs of a possible recession. The Dow closed down 800 points to finish the day at 25,479. Lenore Hawkins of Thematica Research on Wall Street's Bad Day.
What has me actually really worried is looking at what is going on in the bond markets. For example, what we saw with the 30-year Treasury is it hit an all-time low of interest rate. And that happened at a time where we're not getting some sort of terrifying headline. And it's also happening at a time where the foreign purchases of Treasury bonds is going down, and when the federal government is spending so much money that we need roughly an additional $1 trillion a year just to cover the deficits.
Ethan Colley, the man who helped the Dayton murderer get his equipment, is asking a judge for bail. The judge will make that ruling on Thursday. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Turning to immigration news, while speaking on Fox News Wednesday morning, Acting DHS Secretary Kevin McAleen discusses the importance of his agency.
I think we have the most compelling mission in law enforcement to protect the homeland, and it's an honor to serve in this role. But the second thing that inspires me is our men and women. Being down there on the border multiple times as acting secretary, seeing how hard they're working, seeing that we've gotten them some relief. The emergency supplemental combined with our international strategy has changed that dynamic.
A judge in Sweden rules in a high-profile case against a U.S. rapper. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
American rapper ASAP Rocky has been found guilty of assault following a street fight last June in Stockholm, Sweden. A Swedish court saying today that he doesn't have to do any more jail time there after serving a month in a Swedish detention center, but he has to pay the victim restitution.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Red flag laws that have come under debate in the wake of the mass murders in El Paso and Dayton should be a state or local matter rather than fall under the federal government. That's according to Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. He joins Fox News and says why.
We can't stop every horrific crime in this country in advance, but I think we can make a difference. And also what we can do to stop gun crime in general is to make sure that we are supporting our law enforcement community and that we are supporting partnerships between federal and local law enforcement. Like I just heard from our U.S. attorney this week in Little Rock that they've seen a significant decline in crime because we have so many more Arkansas communities enrolled in the Department of Justice's Safe Community Project, which is designed to stop gun crime by getting criminals off the streets to begin with.
Better at the state level, but you understand the concern from conservatives. I mean, red flag laws means
someone telling on somebody, and you're right, you need to have punishment for that. But if there's a political reason or I don't like your beliefs, that could go sideways really quick.
Yeah, and that's one, that's another reason why, beyond the capabilities of the federal government versus state and local governments who are on the police and know their own people, is that it should be a state matter, because we have state experiences with these things, that there should be real penalties for anyone who might misuse such a law to carry on a personal grudge or a dispute of any kind.
And finally, a new study out from Bankrate.com says 42% of Americans decided they could not take a vacation over the past year because they could not afford it. For more news, you can find us online at USAradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome to another weekly episode of Destination Hockey. Before we take you into the world of the greatest sport on this planet, we do have to go over this planet's live and local weather forecast. Tonight, we have a chance of thunderstorms. 81 degrees will be the temperature. It's 50-50. The sky is kind of purple right now, so stay inside and prep for the worst. I'm assuming there will be some thunderstorms within the next hour. Tomorrow, slight chance of showers. It's down to 20%, better than today's 50%. We got the chance of thunderstorms as well as another day of an 81-degree forecast. Friday, more scattered thunderstorms. Another day of 81 degrees. I cannot make this up. 3 straight days of 81 degrees forecast and a chance of thunderstorms. And then finally, Saturday, the nice weather comes along for the weekend. 85 degrees, sunny all day, but we do get more thunderstorms at night. Sunday, 89 degrees. It's looking good for the weekend, but don't worry about that. Right now, we have a jam-packed episode of Destination Hockey. Rangers top defensive prospect Brandon Crawley and Blues reporter Jeremy Rutherford will be joining us on the show. From the destination for all things hockey, we will be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Marco Dano, a name you probably have not heard before, has the potential to make a serious impact this season. Marco Dano was once a top NHL prospect. He was drafted with the Columbus Blue Jackets organization in the first round and had that potential to be a true game changer. Top end talent, top forward, even though there were a few red flags. Well, those red flags have brought his career down. 5'11", 212 pounds. That's not the greatest size and height for a hockey player. He claims